Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday morning. It's September 16th, 2021. So how you doing this morning? I hope you're doing well. I hope you keep your eyes on Jesus, as always, the author and finisher of our faith. And I want to thank you for the prayers for the Ave Maria Radio Pledge Drive. It's very exciting. I get my adrenaline all going. And the first hour this week, I've been, raising money and asking people to call in and go online and support us. And it's great to hear the responses. And we do a tally of how many states call in. And right now, we have about half of the states in the USA that have checked in. And it's so cool to see this because there's definitely, as I mentioned yesterday and explained, the connection, Catholic Connection, no pun intended, with our affiliates across the country and with EWTN. It's really interesting. I love it when people call in their donations and they tell us what shows they listen to. It's always a combination of, let's say, the shows that we do in Michigan and then also the shows that we co-produce with EWTN. It's just a really cool thing to see. And it means a lot. I mean, we have such a small staff, and EWTN and Ave Maria Radio and all of our stations, we do so much with so little, and we just keep plugging away and keep putting it out there. And oh boy, is it needed now more than ever. And that's why I think you're really going to enjoy the show today. I know I can't wait to do this interview. It's a new book from our friends at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Studies by Father Carter Griffin, Cross-Examined Catholic Responses to the World's Questions. Okay, I need like 3 hours for this interview. Really, I have so many questions for him. So the book is going to be taking a look at the social norms and political movements that are changing so quickly. But Father reminds us all the truth of the faith stands firm. In his book, Cross-Examined, Catholic Responses to the World's Questions, we will be equipped to address even the most sensitive topics. From the existence of God to the existence of hell, from women's ordination to Marian devotion, from assisted suicide to transgenderism. And he has an incredible background. He's a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington. He's a graduate of Princeton and a former line officer in the Navy, obtaining his doctorate in theology from the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross in Rome. And after serving at St. Peter's Parish on Capitol Hill, he was assigned to the St. John Paul II Seminary, where he now serves as rector. So I'm very excited about this book and this topic. And there's a lot of questions out there today. One of the reasons many people say they fall away from faith, whether it be the Catholic Church or, let's say, the Evangelical Church, is because of suffering in the world and all the awful things in the world. And people look out and they say, well, how could these things happen? How could a loving God allow this? Well, God allows us to make our own decisions. He gives us free will. That's a whole very deep theological question, but Jesus himself embraced the cross. And Mother Angelica always said, the cross is not negotiable, sweetheart. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to be all suffering all the time, because if we connect that cross to the cross of Christ and ask God to show us, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this situation? I know from personal experience that he will show you. If he brings you to it, he will see you through it. And not only see you through it, but at the end of this, you're going to come out with a much different perspective, a much stronger faith, and really with experiences that can help not only you grow, but other people. This is what it's about. This is how we make a difference and build the church, as we say, and bless a nation. So much to discuss with Father Carter Griffin. That's coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. And then we're going to be checking in with Kelsey Wick. She's the operations manager for Catholic News Agency. And I'm really looking forward to this interview with Kelsey. She narrated the episode, and she's been the main point of contact for a Christian behind enemy lines in Afghanistan, pleading to Catholic News Agency for help. And they've been sharing what Kareem has been expressing in terms of the situation there, which obviously you're not going to hear in the secular media. So really looking forward to both of these interviews. Thanks to my amazing producer, Andrew, for getting great folks on every single day. Let's take a look at the forecast. We need to pray for our friends down in Texas and Louisiana. They're still getting, having all kinds of problems from this now tropical depression known as Nicholas. So let's get the latest and see what's happening. We'll also have an update in the news for you as well. Tropical depression Nicholas producing heavy rain over parts of the central Gulf Coast through tomorrow, causing numerous areas of flash flooding and stream river flooding. Isolated to scattered severe storms expected across parts of the northern plains and upper Midwest with damaging winds and large hail. The main threats will occur today. So we're still seeing a lot of storm activity in that chunk of Louisiana and also, let's see, Mississippi and parts of Alabama and Florida, Mobile, Alabama, and Pensacola especially. It is 5 minutes past the hour. A lot of news to get through, so let's do that right now on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection, September 16th. Catholic News Agency has more on this story, and we're working to get commentary on this as well, most likely for tomorrow's program. Pope Francis saying yesterday on that flight on the way home from his travels in Eastern Europe that the Catholic Church is firm in its stance on abortion because abortion is murder, urging priests to be pastoral, though, rather than political when faced with the question of who can receive communion. Answering questions aboard the papal plane from Bratislava, Slovakia to Rome on September 15th, the Holy Father emphatically stressing abortion ends a human life and that human life must be respected. Now, he said he never personally refused the Eucharist to anyone, adding, however, he was not aware of ever having been in the situation that the journalist who posed a question described, that of a pro-choice politician coming to him to receive the Eucharist. Lila Rose from the pro-life action group Live Action is issuing a statement this week explaining the search engine Google canceled their advertisements for abortion pill reversal services. In a story on Catholic News Agency, she explains the act is further evidence of Google's pro-abortion bias. On September 13th, Lila Rose said Google disapproved all of Live Action's ads for abortion pill reversal, claiming they were unreliable and contained false information. She said those ads had been running for several months and had previously been approved by Google. In other news this morning, the Pentagon and the White House are attempting to justify private phone calls made by U.S. General Mark Milley to China during the end of the Trump presidency.
Republicans are saying Milley may have gone outside the chain of command and behind the back of an elected commander-in-chief, referring to President Trump.
That's reporter Kelly O'Donnell, who says a new book, Peril, due out next week, describes the calls that Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Milley made to his Chinese counterpart, alleging that the former president might try to start a war. Milley reportedly ordered senior military officials not to take orders from anyone on the possible use of nuclear weapons unless he was personally involved. Meanwhile, authors Bob Woodward and Robert Costa claim in their new book, Peril, that Milley called a secret meeting also at the Pentagon just 2 days after the January 6 incident at the Capitol. Woodward and Costa also claim Milley was overseeing the mobilization of America's national security state without the knowledge of the American people or the rest of the world. And former Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller, in an exclusive interview with Fox News, who led the Pentagon from the period after the 2020 election through the inauguration, said he did not and would not ever authorize Milley to have secret calls with his Chinese counterpart, describing the allegations as a disgraceful and unprecedented act of insubordination and calling on Milley to resign immediately. Young women who endured abuse by a former USA gymnastics team doctor are speaking out. Kaylee Lorenz and others testifying yesterday, pointing to the FBI, insisting the Bureau failed to take their experiences seriously.
Accountability will only occur when the FBI agents who did not do their job face criminal charges. My 2016 abuse is on them.
Her comments about the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal were echoed by fellow survivor Jessica Howard.
If the FBI had done anything that was even within their own policies and procedures or followed any of the laws that are already in place to protect children from sexual abuse, some of these people would not even be here as victims, let alone talk about a recovery.
Meanwhile, Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley is saying he started pressing the FBI for answers years ago and was not satisfied. He argued the Bureau put its image ahead of the protection of young athletes. Grassley of Iowa says, again, he had been looking into this for several years and was not satisfied.
The FBI severely let down dozens of teenage girls, several of whom bravely came forward in 2015 to report their abuse.
Grassley is a former chairman of the judiciary panel. The senator's comments came ahead of testimony from some of the top U.S. Olympic gymnasts. The school mask mandate debate will be under the microscope in Tallahassee, Florida. State Senator Manny Diaz Jr. says this is a much bigger issue than masks, and it needs to be addressed in a special session.
Local governments that are appendages of the state constitutional officers cannot decide what state law or state rules to apply and what others they're just going to disagree with and put by the wayside.
He says when the legislature passes a law signed by the governor, local governments cannot simply pick and choose what to enforce or what not to enforce. And he says he wants to create penalties for those who have taken the oath to follow the Constitution but are not implementing the law. Meanwhile, a federal judge, as Michael Kastner tells us, is siding with Texas Governor Greg Abbott's executive order banning mask mandates in schools.
The judge on Wednesday ruled against Disability Rights Texas, an advocacy group who filed a lawsuit last month, claiming Abbott's order puts students with disabilities at risk. After hearing from both sides of the issue, the judge denied the advocacy group's request for a temporary restraining order. An attorney for Disability Rights Texas says the group will keep fighting the order in court.
Roughly half of all Americans disapproving, meanwhile, a push by Joe Biden to mandate COVID-19 vaccines for up to 100 million American workers, according to a new national poll. Nearly half of those questioned in a Quinnipiac University survey released yesterday say Biden's actions to combat the surge this summer in the pandemic cases due to the highly infectious Delta variant go way too far. By a 51 to 48% margin, a slight majority of Americans disapprove of Biden's plans. In his most forceful comments to date, Joe Biden last week announcing new wide-ranging federal COVID vaccine requirements for those working at companies with 100 or more employees, healthcare workers, and federal contractors. Travelers in the U.S., meanwhile, vaccinated against COVID-19 do not have to quarantine if they visit the Netherlands. Earlier this week, the government of the Netherlands releasing updated guidelines for coronavirus safety measures, saying the policy also applies to those coming from the UK and other places deemed high risk. This after the country announced earlier this month a different requirement for all vaccinated travelers from those areas to isolate and those who did not roll up their sleeves to stay home. The new guidelines take effect September 22nd. Louisiana dealing with downpours, as we mentioned earlier, from Tropical Depression Nicholas. And Baton Rouge reporter Vaughn Hilliard says the more the rain falls, the more likely flash flooding will happen.
6 million Americans are under flash flood watch right now here, which speaks to the expansiveness of this storm here.
The former Category 1 hurricane is still over parts of Louisiana where residents are cleaning up after Hurricane Ida. The governor, John Bel Edwards, saying homes already damaged, people are displaced, and storm debris could block drainage systems, causing rainwater to accumulate more quickly and increasing the chance of flooding. Tens of thousands of folks across the Houston area, meanwhile, are still without power days after Nicholas hit. Officials say it could be another day or two before full service is restored. And Brian Shook tells us GM warning some Chevrolet Bolt owners to keep their cars parked away from other vehicles to reduce the risk of fire.
The car company has already recalled more than 140,000 of their Bolt EVs made in the last 5 years because of batteries spontaneously going up in flames. Bloomberg reports GM is issuing the warning to reduce the risk of a possible blaze spreading to other cars and trucks. About a dozen fires have been confirmed and more continue to be reported. GM has said it's working with its partners to correct the battery issues.
A number of lawmakers across the country asking Facebook not to build a version of its Instagram app for kids. They cited their own testimony at a House hearing in March about the impacts of social media on children's mental health. They also asked if Zuckerberg had reviewed Facebook's own research showing Instagram is harmful to some teens, especially young girls. At least 44 states, lawmakers there have already asked Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook, to ditch the new app, even though it would have parental controls. And finally, in our new segment at 14 minutes past the hour, today is Mexican Independence Day. It marks a date back in 1810 when the nation's 11-year-old war for freedom began. Commemorating the day, a Catholic priest, Miguel Hidalgo, called for independence in a spellbinding speech in the town of Dolores, the war ending 300 years of Spanish colonial rule. 14 minutes past the hour. It is a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You know, this story about Mexico reminds us of the impact the Catholic Church continues to have and has had on the world. And so many people don't realize it. And that's why we're here, to help you build the church and bless a nation and keep you connected to all things Catholic. The teachings are timeless because they deal with the dignity in the human person, and they take us all back to Jesus. And we need to take a look at the church and remember that you need to listen to your mother, as in Holy Mother Church. And I'm sure our next guest, Father Carter Griffin, is going to help us realize that even further. The book is Cross-Examine: Catholic Responses to the World's Questions. We'll be right back.
College football is back this fall. Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria University Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponent for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live-streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the live-stream football button. This Saturday, it's the home opener for the Gyrenes as they take on Point Georgia. Game time at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu. We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Really looking forward to our chat this morning. And we have two segments. I wish we had 25, but we'll have to have them back on. Father Carter Griffin, author of the book Cross-Examine: Catholic Responses to the World's Questions, published by our friends at the St. Paul Center. And this is such an important book for our times. If we look at the social norms and all the, let's just be honest, the craziness that's going on out there in our culture, and even some of the things we see within the church, we have to remember that the church and her teachings, that, well, it never changes. We can learn more about a particular truth in the church, but the truth doesn't change, as John Paul II said. And so, Father, thank you for this book. Now, given your background, you're a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington, so you see an awful lot. You have quite an extensive education. You went to Princeton. You served us in the military. Thank you so much. You also have a doctorate from the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross in Rome. So you've been in the world, and you've seen, and you see, as I'm sure, in terms of your ministry now, how crazy things have become. What prompted you in particular? Was there a particular experience, or what did God put in your heart to give us this book right now?
Yeah, well, thank you, and thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I think an important part of this is that it's true. There's a lot of nuttiness out there, a lot of weak thinking, and, you know, just people not being able to have rational, you know, human conversations, and wanting to contribute to hopefully an environment where we can calmly look at those who disagree with us and respond calmly as well. I mean, it's an ancient idea, and, you know, going back way back, and the Scholastics and Thomas Aquinas did this, you know, a million times better than I ever would. But sort of trying to look at some of the contemporary issues and where people are coming from today. So that's kind of the deeper issue, is like really try to enter into a more conversational approach rather than just kind of, you know, sort of a one-way kind of conversation. It's a two-way conversation in the book, you know, sort of looking at what do we do with people who disagree with us. But really, the more immediate, the more proximate cause of it was with the seminarians. When we started this seminary 11 years ago,
right.
John Paul II Seminary,
you're at
Washington.
John Paul II Seminary, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and wanting to really give these guys an opportunity, because they're coming in from the same culture that everyone else is living in, and, you know, sort of, and like many others, sort of formed in maybe understanding the church's position, but not necessarily really giving a lot of credence or a lot of respect to anyone who disagrees with us. And I think that needs to happen if we're going to be effective and credible witnesses, to give a good testimony to the faith. We have to know where they're coming from, start there, and be able to respond intelligently and articulately. And so that was kind of the idea of putting together these short little apologetic sheets for the seminarians, and that kind of grew. And then over the COVID, over the COVID time, I sort of put them into a book. Yeah, that's the beginning of it.
I think one of the big questions people have is why so much suffering? And I'm sure that comes up all the time in your own ministry. And I've even chatted with people very recently and say they've left the faith entirely because they just can't stand to see all the evil in the world. And we're seeing it more because of the mass media in terms of, you know, 24/7 message bombardment. But what we're seeing is, you know, as Ecclesiastes says, is nothing new under the sun. And I think, again, this goes back to the importance of your book, because our Lord gives us free will, and we live in a fallen world. We're not puppets. And our Lord himself suffered excruciating pain and loneliness and abandonment and was tortured. And he's God. And so if he suffered that way, you know, as he says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But at the end of the day, he's victorious, and we know how the book ends. But trying to explain this when people are in the midst of suffering is a challenge, is it not?
It is. And it seems to me that if the conversation begins when somebody is already suffering, it's going to be especially challenging.
Right.
Because they're already in the midst of it. Whereas I think the call is really as much as possible to have that kind of the spade work done in advance, where we really enter into this relationship with our Lord, who suffered far more than we ever will, and that in that relationship, you know, our suffering is not removed. I mean, he never promised. In fact, he promised the opposite. He said that, right. You know, that you're going to carry your cross. He never promised Christians an easy road, but what he did say is that you are going to suffer, but it will be transformed. You know, that the suffering will be sanctified. It'll be something that can be turned to good. It can be yoked to the purposes of redemption, you know, and to sort of see that suffering has a meaning in our life, that's when the light goes on, you know, for people who are going through that dark night or the, you know, the veil of tears. And to have that relationship with our Lord in advance is so important. And so what we need to do as best as we can is just, I think, be with people who are suffering, to be, in a sense, that believer, the person who knows that suffering can be transformed and hallowed and sanctified. And in that accompaniment with that person, I think over time, maybe a window will open, you know, and they'll be available, and they can maybe receive that truth. But it's a good example of the kind of thing that, I think the single biggest reason for people becoming atheists is not, you know, it was hard intellectual, you know, reading Nietzsche or Hume or something like
right.
that. I mean, it's just this kind of existential angst of seeing suffering and saying, how is this possible with if there's such a good God up there and an all-powerful God?
Right.
And we have to have a credible answer to that. And that is not just an intellectual answer. That's a personal answer, too.
Yeah. We're talking with Father Carter Griffin, his book, Cross-Examined Catholic Responses to the World's Questions. We'll put a link to it on the Catholic Connection Archive. You can get it, though, through, of course, many an online store, including the stpaulcenter.com, and, of course, on the EWTN Religious Catalog and Ave Maria Radio's bookstore. Father, I also think, too, that if we can share maybe how we have come out of suffering with a new insight and with a real change in our lives, I think that helps people too. Because sometimes we hear homilies or we'll hear someone give a story and talk about, oh yeah, well, you have to suffer, but we don't remind them of Easter Sunday, our own Easter Sundays. Because if we, you know, as my mother used to say in her Jersey accent, offer it up to God and put it at the foot of the cross, you know, we look back on our lives and we don't want the suffering. We're not like, most of us are not like the great saints like Teresa of Avila who asked for, you know, to bring on the pain, right? But if we honestly look back and we go through something, we say, wow, I really learned a lot from that situation. Now, we see this in the secular world with different inventors and people of great success, and they will tell you they didn't wake up successful. They went through a lot of trial and error and failure and pain to get to the point where they're at. Now, we can see that, you know, secularly, from a secular perspective, but how come we don't want to look at it from a faith perspective sometimes?
Yeah, I think that's a great that analogy is really helpful. Another analogy I think is very helpful is, you know, so many of our listeners probably have children, maybe
right.
small children, and the small children don't always understand the things that are painful that they have to go through, but they go through it for their own sake, you know, and bringing a child to get a shot or something like that. You know, obviously these are difficult things for children to understand. It's not a perfect analogy, but it helps, I think, to understand that God, who does have a bigger picture, when we go through something, we say, how can God possibly be in this? But the fact is, he's going to draw something good out of this. The greatest evil of all time was the crucifixion of our Lord,
right.
and the greatest good was drawn out of that. And so, you know, and also it's the long view. Like, we're not made for this life alone. And to be able to go through this life and, you know, to be faithful to our Lord and to carry the cross that he gives us, and to do so as much as we can with cheerfulness and joy, will transform things. And, I mean, there's a reason why the saints they suffered a lot, but they're also very happy.
Amen.
I think Fulton Sheen said there never was an unhappy saint, you know, and
yeah.
so I think part of it is this capacity to transform suffering into something beautiful.
More with Father Carter Griffin on his book, Cross Examine, Catholic Responses to the World's Questions. And we come back. It is a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection, September 16th. We're having a beautiful, beautiful day. Yesterday, the feast day of Our Lady of Sorrows, something also to think and pray about. When we come back, more on this book and more looking at what the Church gives us in her never-changing, ever-true teachings. Teachings that changed my life and saved my marriage. We'll be right back.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
Is your teen struggling with self-criticism, poor motivation, or bad eating or sleeping habits? Does he or she tend to isolate, have bouts of anger, or struggle in their academic or social life? If you've said yes to at least a few of these statements, your teen might be dealing with clinical depression. According to Johns Hopkins University, adolescent depression rates increased by 37% in the last decade. Many parents assume that depressed mood and behavior are a normal part of a teenager's life. While every teen has some struggles with self-image or peer relationships, when those struggles become a consistent cross, it's time to seek professional help. Depression isn't something your kids will grow out of, but with appropriate help, it is something they can learn to leave behind for good. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I never cease to wonder at is that this Jesus, Son of God, came born in a stable, escapes from a king. And his whole life he's kind of hunted down by the jealousy and the ambition of the scribes and Pharisees and the king. And he speaks and heals to the people. He raises the dead and exorcises demons. Nobody's grateful. He does all that. He continues to do all of that. And we still don't understand how much he loves us. Isn't that odd?
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Having a great conversation with Father Carter Griffin, his book, Cross Examine, Catholic Responses to the World's Question. Check it out online, stpaulcenter.com. Father Carter is a priest in the Archdiocese of D.C. He is also, of course, assigned to the newly established St. John Paul II Seminary in Washington, where he now serves as the rector. He is a priest, as I mentioned, in D.C., a graduate of Princeton, a former line officer in the Navy. Thank you for your service, and obtained his doctorate in theology from the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross in Rome. So, Father, you've seen it all, and especially, I think, with the suffering in the world right now in terms of the so many problems that we're facing, whether it be Afghanistan or elsewhere around the world, and people just shake their heads and say, okay, where is God in all of this? But he is in the midst of the suffering, and I think if we could just say, okay, Lord, this is what I've learned to do. I say, okay, I don't like this. This really stinks, but I know at the end of the day you're going to give me something that I can use for my own personal growth and purgation, as well as maybe helping somebody else. So that's the way I approach it now, because I've learned that if you go through something, God's not only going to see you through it, but he's going to give you something at the end that you can use.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the talks that I give to the seminarians every year is a talk on supernatural outlook, you know, which is basically being able to see whatever we see and see it through the eyes of faith. And I think, you know, when our Lord and Peter have that exchange, and he says, you're not thinking, you know, he says, he gets behind me, Satan, you know, or thinking not as men think, you
right.
know, not as God thinks, but as men think. That, I think, is a great reminder for us, because so often we can get so discouraged and so down on things. It doesn't mean that we don't put our head in the sand. We need to see the problems. We need to be a part of the solutions. But at the same time, if we find ourselves just living in a perpetual state of sadness and heaviness and discouragement,
right.
we're probably not looking at things as believers, you know, because the Lord is still the Lord. The resurrection, you know, the Lord is risen, God is in his heaven, and things will be okay. You know, I mean, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's about. Even when his children here have to suffer, he knows what he's about, and he's going to draw something beautiful out of it if we just let him. And so, like, reading these things, and sometimes, you know, we just sort of almost indulge too much. There's a kind of weird, kind of morbid curiosity that we can give into. And we just want more and more of the stuff that makes us unhappy and miserable. And we forget that there's a lot of joy and beauty out there, too, above all the beauty of our faith.
Well, I think we want to confirm we have a confirmation bias, and we want to confirm the negativity that we
sure.
see.
Yeah.
It's not to say we bury our heads in the sand, but also if you're constantly negative and thinking that all is bad, where is your faith? Where is your trust
yeah.
in God?
Right. Yeah, and so I think in terms of talking about, you know, mentioned the suffering earlier, or different other kind of neuralgic, difficult issues that people deal with, you know, there may be, you know, one of the reasons I think we talk about this in the book of Cross-Examined, but one of the reasons for studying apologetics, I think, is to kind of confirm us and to give us confidence again. I think a lot of Catholics have kind of lost confidence across the board. Confidence in God, confidence in the church, that the church can no longer be trusted, you know, no one in authority can be trusted, and maybe even confidence in themselves and their own faith. And
mm-hmm.
so being able to, like, go back to the basics and say, no, the faith is integral, it's cohesive, it's beautiful, and above all, it's true. You know, no, the church is founded by Christ and will endure to the very end, even when we have very imperfect pastors. And of course, God is ultimately is totally trustworthy. You know, every minute of the day.
And we can know that by what you mentioned in terms of the teachings of the church. And this is what keeps me going. I go back, especially you mentioned regarding one of the topics you cover in the book is women's ordination, but the beautiful teachings of the church and the dignity of women, and also, of course, the way Jesus related to women, and the many documents on so many different issues, how Catholics are to engage in the world, in politics, all these different issues, the life issues, immigration, all these things. The church gives us great insight. And what we can find when we go back to these teachings is that the truth is the truth. We can learn more about a truth. But when you read these teachings, I was telling you during the break how much I love going back to the teachings on the media, for example, and on women, especially the teachings on marriage and women, you know, change my life and save my marriage. When I started to see what the church had to say about various topics, I was like, wow, where have I been all these years? I could have had a V8, you know? I mean, really.
Right? The same thing happened to me. I'm a convert, and when I was in college, you know, it started with Our Lady, you know, something about Mary, I think, typical prejudice, and sort of eventually I realized that the church was right, and Catholic Church was right, and I was wrong. And then I was a little bit less sort of sure of myself in the next one, and then sort of that toppled when I realized I was wrong, and then the third and the fourth, and eventually you get to the point where the calculus shifts, you know, you're like, you know what, I probably have this wrong, you know, and the church probably has this right. But I still needed to feed my mind with that. I needed to nourish my mind with that. And I think you're right. With that, that will really, it makes for a really bracing faith. You know, it's not just a sentimental faith, and it's not just something that we, you know, cultural faith that we just got from our parents, that it really becomes mine, you know, when I realize that this is all true.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very beautiful moment.
Right. We're talking with Father Carter Griffin. His book, Cross-Examined, Catholic Responses to the World's Questions. I also think that we have to understand the difference between personal opinion and well-formed conscience and what the church says. I was telling you during the break, I was having an interesting conversation with a listener. And it always only comes up, Father, when the issue of abortion is on the table, about how Catholic people on the air shouldn't be giving their quote-unquote opinions about things. I don't know where that came from, because we're encouraged to reflect and give insight as long as, obviously, it's in line with church teaching. But, you know, this woman ended up saying, well, you have your opinion and I have mine. I said, no, you can't. She kept saying she's a well-formed Catholic. And I said, you can't say that your opinion is okay if you're in direct conflict with what the church teaches on an intrinsic evil.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot, and frankly, this is not just a left or a right thing, but there are a lot of people out there who really, at the end of the day, it's their own judgment that is
right.
the final arbiter of truth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's called Protestantism. I mean, that's not, I mean, not to be rude, but it is a fact that is kind of the protest against the Catholic Church was that there was a pope, you know, and sort of the buck stops with him, you know, in terms of not making the faith. Obviously, that all comes from our Lord. But of interpreting it properly. It's not just the Pope, obviously, but there's an entire hierarchy that helped us do that. But that requires a certain humility on our part to say that, you know, I may not understand this. I may struggle to articulate this. You know, Cardinal Newman said 1,000 difficulties do not equal 1 doubt, right? We can have all kinds of difficulties with the faith, but doubt is a choice. And that's the doubt says, I prefer my own judgment against the judgment of the church that Jesus founded. And that requires humility to relinquish that judgment at the end of the day. But you're right, there's tons of issues that Catholics in good faith can disagree on.
Right, prudential judgment
matters. I love those discussions. Mm-hmm. Those are great.
Yeah. Well, for whom, as we let you go, we have about, and I knew this was going to go by quickly, we have to have you back on. For whom did you write the book? I know that, you know, as a head of a seminary, in part you wrote it for the seminarians, but who else
right.
did you have in mind?
You know, I had in mind, I guess, a couple of different groups. One is people like in RCIA or people wanting to deepen their, you know, wanting to come to the church, but also Catholics who want to deepen their understanding of the faith. Maybe they have family members or friends or colleagues at work, and they're just not sure how to answer some of these questions. And I think what this will do is hopefully give a very brief, you know, snapshot of each of these issues, not just what the church teaches, but also how she responds to those who object to it. So I think those would be some of the main groups of kind of for adults, college, you know, and maybe seniors in high school doing an apologetics course, those kind of groups.
You know, I think this is great for all of us. I think we can all use a refresher course. The church is so deep. We could spend our entire lives, I've discovered, you know, just looking at one area of church teaching.
Amen.
And you know, I mean, it wouldn't be enough because the church is so rich. We have 2,000 plus years of teaching from our Lord. Great book, Father. Thanks so much. Cross-examine Catholic responses to world questions. I think also this would be great for faith formation, adult faith formation. Mm-hmm. In a Catholic parish. Really, really well done. You can find it at a number of different locations, including from our friends at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Father, great discussion. Appreciate your great work. God bless you. And thank you for saying yes to the priesthood and especially as well as your service, saying yes to your service to our country in the Navy. We'll be right back on a Thursday morning. It's September 16th. Remember what Mother Angelica said, the cross is not negotiable, sweetheart. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Mississippi presented a brief to the Supreme Court, and in that brief, the state of Mississippi argued that the Constitution of the United States does not confer a right to abortion, asking the court to finally admit that cases claiming there is such a right, Roe v. Wade, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, have been wrongly decided and need to be overruled. Now, make no mistake, this is coming to a very different Supreme Court than we've had in the past because former President Trump kept his promise to appoint originalist judges. And even if we assume they regard Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey as bad decisions, we really don't know how they might go about revising, dismantling, you know, reforming Roe. This is going to be a very consequential Supreme Court case.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Connection, 39 minutes past the hour, September 16, 2021. On the phone with us, Kelsey Wicks. She's the operations manager for Catholic News Agency. And as a longtime news person, I'm always telling you to go to Catholic News Agency for their great coverage and very, very balanced coverage of things happening in the church and the world. And this story really caught my attention as someone who's been in the business for you know, since dirt. And I know what it's like to get a ton of emails. And you're kind of sorting through the emails. And Kelsey's going to tell us about this, because this one, Kelsey, from this particular person, caught your attention. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. And you've been on a journey with Kareem, and you'll tell us about Kareem. But how did you first find out about this particular situation with a fellow Christian in Afghanistan? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Teresa, for having me. As the operations manager, I often monitor one of our largest accounts, which, you know, probably has about 2,000 emails in its inbox right now.
Wow.
And so, you know, I just go through and I sort of sift out what might be newsworthy to forward on to the editor-in-chief.
Sure.
or different things like this. And I see this email and I open it up and, you know, the first words, I was like, please help me. There's no one left to help me but you. And I continue reading and, you know, there are oftentimes scams or other things like,
right.
You know, we need money for this charity and the charity doesn't exist, or, you know, things like this. So you're always reading with a critical eye. But in my past, I had worked on refugee issues. And so, you know, I have a little bit of understanding of the difficulty of a refugee and what some of those stories sound like. And as I'm reading through it, I immediately begin to think, like, this is very credible. So we don't, you know, in our coverage, we don't use Kareem or any of his information, but, the executive director just tells me, look, just keep pace with him if you'd like and see if, you know, he can give us some more information. As the information starts coming in, you know, documents and other things to verify his identity, pin drops of where he is, you know, this isn't just some person somewhere in the world pretending to be someone, footage of the Taliban at the Afghan gates, of the airport in Kabul, you know, and we begin to realize this is a Christian who is fleeing for his life.
Wow. So what is the situation with Kareem now? What have you learned? And I know you've put together the email exchanges in a beautiful podcast, but where does it stand right now with this situation?
Yes, so, you know, he was really hoping for a miracle before the August 31st withdrawal. And a lot of his desperation and his plea was, you know, does Christian life matter or not? Is there no government in the world that would take me?
Mm.
And, you know, sadly, once those air evacuations stopped on the 30th of August, there's been a slow in the ability to get people out. And there's also a difficulty in that without proper paperwork, you know, which is sort of maddening to a layperson, right? You can't move anyone. You know, the Taliban is sometimes denying people with lawful visas to other countries and travel. And so if you don't have a visa at all, there's no possibility for you to get out. So, you know, Kareem remains in hiding, and we can't discuss the details of where that is. We're still working some back channels with people that we're in touch with who are doing things on the ground and with governments to assist him and not just Kareem, but, you know, every Christian and persecuted person who finds themselves haunted simply for what they believe in.
Does Kareem express any concerns about what happened, the way the withdrawal was handled? I mean, not getting into the specifics, but does he feel, you mentioned that he said, is there no government that will help us? I'm paraphrasing what you just said, but does he feel abandoned because there was such a commitment between the U.S. and those in Afghanistan working with them, you know, to try to keep a status quo there? What are his thoughts on how things happened? Did he talk about that at all? Did he give you any background information on what it was like for him during that particular time?
You know, I think that there was a lot of shock and disbelief. his brother and his father were murdered by the Taliban. He was unable to get out. He had, you know, for a time worked with the Allied forces, although he's been predominantly hunted and on a list because he's a Christian. So there's a lot of shock and disbelief that someone could abandon someone who, in these circumstances to really just a murderous regime. I mean, the summary executions that are taking place, the beheadings that have come out on video footage, throwing people into trunks of cars to cart them away to who knows where. It really is astounding, I think, from his perspective, that people can watch this and then still not work harder to intervene.
Go ahead.
We tried to keep a lot of the information that was maybe more damaging. I mean, I'm sure if you knew the full extent of what was happening, it would be even harder for him to process. But you know, at one point he was so feverish from having slept outside with little to no food for over a week by the airport, moving from place to place, hiding in trash receptacles. He became sick from actually sleeping in a garbage dumpster. Because the Taliban patrols at night would be when it was most dangerous. So he, you know, there were moments when he was feverish when he said to Alejandro and I should just turn myself into the Taliban. I should just die now.
Aww.
And we told him, like, no, Karim, like, you have to have hope. So in order to keep that small flame of hope alive, we really shielded him from a lot of the other information that could have been perhaps more damaging that we know about some of the difficulties with the evacuation.
Yeah. We're talking with Kelsey Wick. She's the operations manager at Catholic News Agency, the website catholicnewsagency.com. And as I said, I've been saying all week, you need to check out this very, very important story of Karim, a Christian fleeing the Taliban, pleading to Catholic News Agency for help. And they have a line of communication with him, and they're trying to do whatever they can to, without revealing, obviously, his location or more about his identity, offer him some sort of help, at least just spiritual support, that there are Christians that are out there caring about him and praying for him and others in a similar situation. So, Kelsey, I can hear it in your voice, and I heard it in your podcast. So this is coming from me, someone who's covered really hard stories over the years, and I know what that's like, and I can sense that your heart is in this. And I would imagine that Catholic News Agency is realizing, as you are, because I can tell just in your concern, that this is about Karim, but it's a bigger story in so many ways. It's a bigger story in terms of the plight of persecuted Christians around the world. And it's a story in the sense because, and I keep saying this, there's not enough outlets that are going to cover this, because right now we see this in the secular media where they're trying to shift the attention away from the many problems that still exist in that part of the world. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think you could have said it better. This story is an icon into the window of the soul of Afghanistan.
Amen.
I mean, and really, truly, right, you know, when we think about what it means to be baptized, and even for the non-baptized, because, you know, there are so many people in peril there, I just think of what we do in our prayer, what we do by giving attention to this, what we do by attempting to rectify it, is walking with the suffering Christ. I mean, that is Christ in Afghanistan right there. You know, that is the Via Crucis in process.
Mm.
And
mm.
We have a duty as Christians, certainly to pray, and secondly, to act in any way that we can to assist our brothers and sisters who are holding on to their faith by the slimmest of shreds, facing down martyrdom, facing down terrible punishments and death and torture. You know, this is the Roman Empire in the 21st century, and we have a call here to shed light upon it, and also, and most importantly, most deeply, to pray for them.
Absolutely. So where do we go with this story? How often are you in touch with Karim in terms of your online communication?
Yeah, we've tried to limit the communication since the window for flight evacuation has sort of evaporated, because There are reports now that the Taliban is checking phones at random points. If you have English contacts on your phone, if you have, if you're caught speaking English, you can immediately come under suspicion. So we've tried to limit that as much as possible, and really just strictly around details or updates about safety situations or about possible ways out, and those are sort of few and far in between right now. If I could ask your audience to pray for one thing, you know, the Feast of the Guardian Angels is coming up soon, and this whole time I've been thinking of St. Peter being led out of prison by the angel. And I'm just invoking the guardian angels that whatever way out, miraculous or through the body of Christ or through others, you know, who God has just, you know, using as instruments, that safe passage can be given to these people and a way out can be found.
Will you be posting an update on this, Kelsey, on Catholic News Agency? What's the next installment? Do you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, as a result of being in touch with Kareem, you know, a handful of others have also reached out to us. And, you know, we don't have the means to vet the people, obviously, that come to us, although we send them along to third parties who can do the vetting properly and who have people, you know, placed in strategic locations. So we will be updating Kareem's story as well as the story of the others when the safety predominantly allows.
Sure.
There's so much that we cannot say or reveal without jeopardizing what's at stake.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this. And I think it just exemplifies, echoes, underscores the need for news outlets such as Catholic News Agency and networks, because we can't let these stories just fade away. And this is what the secular world wants us to do. And you know what really, really, really gets my Italian up is when you hear them say, oh, it's a kinder, gentler Taliban. These are people who want to kill us. And you're hearing from Kareem, this is not a kinder, gentler Taliban.
No. In no measure is it. And everyone who's in Afghanistan knows that, and everyone who's watching Afghanistan with honest eyes knows that.
Well, God bless you, and thank you. You are there in that position for a reason. And how unique is it with your background in working with refugees that you had the eyes and the ears to sniff this out, Kelsey, and realize that this was a real story, which takes a lot of discernment and prayer. So thank you for using all of your gifts, and we will look for updates on Kareem. We're talking with Kelsey Wick. She's the operations manager from Catholic News Agency. Check out this story, catholicnewsagency.com. We'll also put it on the archive section of Catholic Connection. And please, this is why you think I'm whistling Dixie when I'm always talking about the opportunities to see the full news and what's really happening in the world, especially to Christians. This is why we need EWTN. I know I say it over and over again. They don't pay me to say this. I'm saying this from my background, okay? These are the stories that you are not going to see in the secular media. Please, please take this seriously. Check out the great work of Catholic News Agency, The Register, EWTN News Nightly, EWTNNews.com. This is God's work that we're doing. We'll be right back.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out, but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the first parish and the first parish mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live. whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. First reading today is very powerful in relationship to what Kelsey and I were just talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Beloved, let no one have contempt for your youth, but set an example for those who believe in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Until I arrive, attend to the reading, exhortation, and teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was conferred on you through the prophetic word with the imposition of hands by the presbyterate. Be diligent in these matters. Be absorbed in them so that your progress may be evident to everyone. Attend to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in both tasks. By doing so, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. Very powerful stuff. That's exactly what Kelsey and company are doing at Catholic News Agency and what we try to do here every single day, brothers and sisters. Because again, I know I sound like a broken record. If you're old enough to remember records, which I am, both LPs and 45s, we need this network to tell the stories that aren't being told. In addition, of course, to most importantly, preaching the gospel and the truth to the church. All right, speaking of which, the one, the only Doug Keck joining us on a Friday with our Inside Words segment, as always. We'll also check in. Hopefully, we're working on getting the great Dr. Matthew Bunsen back on with us to reflect on the Holy Father's comments on the plane regarding the issue of abortion and Catholic politicians, and then my dear sister Kelly Wahlquist on women in the new evangelization. All of that pushing on a Friday. Ciao, ciao. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.